In Luke chapter 13, we've read this evening of a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and who was in a synagogue on one Sabbath as Jesus was teaching. And it may be that we have had thoughts that she might have had. I wonder if there's anyone here who cares that I'm hurting. Or someone who might think, when they were first widowed or divorced or when the illness was diagnosed or when a child has become a problem. Is there anyone who cares? Because I'm hurting. I wonder if this woman thought, does anyone care? It may be even sometimes wondering if God cares. Well, there was a woman that Sabbath day when the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. She may have had some of those sort of thoughts. But in a way, there were two key people in the synagogue that day. This very sick woman and the Lord Jesus. Just as there's another sense in which there are two key people tonight. You here, hearing the word of God, meeting with the Lord Jesus as he comes by his word and spirit. You and him. Just like long ago, there was Jesus and this woman. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. When you try to think about her and picture her, perhaps, this poor woman who could not straighten up, she'd been troubled for 18 years. Try and imagine what her life was like. She couldn't stand or sit comfortably. Perhaps she could only lie down on one side. Walking was difficult. There was pain in her life. And what had caused her illness? She had a spirit of infirmity. So it wasn't just arthritis. This was a satanic attack that had physically affected her body. But of course, she would also suffer emotionally and psychologically and spiritually as well. Perhaps she sometimes felt discouraged or depressed. And yet, here she worshipped. She was in that synagogue on that Sabbath day. And she was still there to listen to God's word. And there are indications here that Luke tells us that she had faith. The Lord Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. And once Jesus calls her, immediately she responds. Now, Luke has been highlighting the mounting tension between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish religious leaders. The Lord Jesus Christ is resolutely headed towards Jerusalem and the cross. And in spite of his warnings to the teachers and to the people that they can read the weather, but they are not believing the evidence of who he is, as has been evident by many miracles and signs and wonders, showing that Jesus is the promised Messiah, and yet they continue to oppose him. And what is about to take place is in a way a mirror image in that it replays Sabbath healings that Luke has already told us about in Luke chapter 4 verses 31 to 41, Luke chapter 6 verses 6 to 11, and it will be reinforced by another Sabbath account in Luke chapter 14 verses 1 to 6. But those warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ, have people listened? Here's another opportunity. Another opportunity for them to hear and believe, to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And this miracle then examines whether the leaders, the crowds, have responded to the Lord Jesus Christ's warnings and teaching. What has the Lord Jesus Christ just warned them? If they do not bear fruit, the fruit of repentance and faith. Luke chapter 13 verse 9. There was a fig tree. If it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down. Will the fig tree bear fruit? Will their lives bear fruit? Repentance and faith. Does your life bear fruit? Repentance and faith. Here, God is powerfully at work through Jesus Christ, establishing, extending his kingdom. Luke repeatedly, again and again, emphasizes that as people hear the Lord Jesus Christ teaching, they're hearing the voice of the Son of God himself, the Messiah has come. Will they respond to him? How wonderful it must have been to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach the word of God. But even though Jesus was the most gifted teacher who ever spoken, there were those with hardened hearts who still resisted his message. And it may be tonight you are resisting his message. That although Jesus backed up his message by mighty works of power, Luke also records there was a growing opposition to Jesus. And in a way, that dividing line that the Lord Jesus Christ always brings in a congregation, in anyone who hears the word of God, here it occurs again. Those who hear and respond in faith, those who reject and turn away on a broad road leading to destruction. This is the last time Luke records the Lord Jesus Christ preaching in a synagogue. Luke is telling us the window of opportunity is closing here. If genuine conversion does not result from hearing God's word, then judgment follows. And this incident indicates to us that the Lord Jesus Christ's opponents, instead of turning to God, become even more hardened. Their opposition to Jesus Christ increases. But for those who experience the grace of God, such as this woman in this synagogue, personal contact with the Savior, Jesus Christ, transforms a life. Now you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ took all the initiative in this healing. The woman did not even ask Jesus to heal her. Perhaps she could not even look up at him. She was bent over. Perhaps her face was towards the ground. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw her, and he saw a need, and did all that was necessary to heal her. And it's possible to hear the word of God year after year, but to be in a spiritually, as it were, bent over, out of shape life. Spiritually out of shape. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, only he, by the power of his word, can touch and heal and transform a soul. So what I want to do tonight is highlight three contrasts between dead religion and the reality of the living Savior, Jesus Christ. And the first contrast is this. Dead religion is marked by oppression, but reality with Jesus Christ sets people free. Dead religion is marked by oppression. This woman was experiencing something of that oppression, a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. But reality with the Lord Jesus Christ sets people free. So you think of that day in the synagogue. The worshippers would have filed in. The men would have sat on one side, the women on the other side. Perhaps this poor woman arrived a little late. She couldn't move very quickly. She went to a regular spot in the synagogue. People were used to her. She'd been attending for many years. Perhaps it was difficult to talk to her. It took her a great effort to look up, to talk to someone face to face. But I think Luke is indicating to us this woman was a sincere believer. And there's no indication that her physical problem was directly linked to any particular sin. If it was that, surely the Lord Jesus Christ would have given a word of rebuke or correction. I think Luke is telling us the woman's faith is being indicated to us by her presence at the synagogue and her willingness to respond to Jesus Christ's call. Here was a woman who had many excuses, didn't she, to stay away. Constant pain. Difficult to walk to the synagogue. She couldn't look towards the front to see what was going on. Lots of reasons she could have given for staying away, but she was there. She wanted to worship God. And most people who looked on her thought it was just a physical problem. But the Lord Jesus Christ perceived there was something more at work here. In a way, she's a picture of someone who attends a service like this service tonight, but lives burdened by a sense of guilt and sin, and not right with God. Now, the religious system cannot deal with that. The religious system may even tell you to shrug it off. The religious system certainly can't bring deliverance. Now, what this woman needed and what you need is a personal encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. So what religion had not been able to do for 18 years, the Lord Jesus Christ did in a moment. He saw her, he spoke to her, he laid his hands on her, and she was instantly healed from that terrible condition. She stood upright for the first time in 18 years. So for this woman, it wasn't just going to a religious service. She had personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it was meeting with Jesus personally that freed her from that oppression. The length of the illness was no problem for Jesus Christ. All the glory was God's glory. She was released from that predicament she'd been in. So this healing of this woman is like a wonderful picture for us of conversion. What happens when somebody becomes a Christian? When a formerly bent over sinner whose life is not right before God receives new life. God changes the heart. The heart of flesh is warmed towards the things of God. What had been a heart of stone is warmed. It becomes a heart of flesh. Formerly spiritually blind, I see. Formerly trapped sinner is set free. The biblical picture of conversion teaches us that conversion, then, it's not just a human decision to turn over a new leaf. It involves the life-giving power of God, raising someone to spiritual new life in Jesus Christ, a personal encounter with Jesus. Let me give you an example. Before he was converted, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was a very religious young man. He followed in his father's footsteps. He was ordained a priest in the Anglican Church, along with some of his friends, George Whitfield and others. Wesley met with the Holy Club at Oxford. They were called the Holy Club. They wanted to promote holiness of life. They met for prayer, studied the New Testament, self-examination, do works of charity. They sought to maintain high moral standards. Wesley went as a missionary to Georgia in the USA. But when he returned to England, he lamented, "I went to America to convert the Indians. But oh, who shall convert me?" He was crossing the Atlantic, the ocean, and Wesley was on board with a group of German Moravian Christians who had a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just now an outward show of religion, but real personal faith. And there was a storm. Wesley was gripped by fear. And here were these Moravians singing praises to God. So when he got back to England, he started attending the meetings that the Moravian Christians were holding. May the 24th, 1738, Wesley listened to a reading from the preface of Martin Luther's Commentary on the Romans. And he says he felt his heart strangely warmed. And his whole life changed. And the phrase that he spoke about, the life of God in the souls of men and women, the life of God in the souls of men and women. That's a good summary of the difference between dead outward religion and the power of the reality that comes from a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Do you have the life of God in your soul? That's what Wesley experienced. And this woman experienced, and many here tonight have experienced it. Dead religion is marked by oppression. But reality with Jesus Christ sets people free. Have you been set free? The second thing here, dead religion is marked by indifference. But reality with the Lord Jesus Christ results in compassion. Did the ruler of the synagogue even notice that poor woman who hobbled in that day. She was probably poor. She probably didn't contribute much to the synagogue. What a slab of ecclesiastical granite that ruler in the synagogue was. He had no heart to pity that poor woman. He had no eye for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No soul to rejoice in this woman's deliverance. He was a hard-hearted religious snob. He didn't care about the poor woman. What bothered him is she had been healed on the Sabbath. So he stands up and he scolds the whole crowd, including the woman, and of course including Jesus. Compassionate, he was not. He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." More concerned with his own petty little rules than that a woman should be helped and healed. By way of contrast with dead religion, the Lord Jesus Christ was full of compassion towards those who are hurt, especially those who are neglected or abused by religious leaders. He saw the multitudes and felt compassion for them. He saw people as sheep without a shepherd. And although many people in the days of Jesus perhaps had a low view of women, shut them out from spiritual matters, the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke records this again and again, had time to deal with and save and forgive and heal women and have dealings with them, to teach them the things of God. And this woman stooped down, but the Lord Jesus Christ saw her. And he took the time to call her and deliver her out of all her troubles. So what a compassionate Saviour is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have anything of the compassion of the Saviour, we will grow to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Now, we could say at this time Jesus was concentrating a lot of energy on the 12. He was training them for future ministry. But he was always a Saviour at time for those who needed that compassionate touch. The disciples thought that children would waste Jesus' time. But when children were brought to Jesus and the disciples tried to stop the parents from bringing the children, Jesus rebuked the disciples and welcomed children. The disciples were baffled that he would take time to talk to a Samaritan woman by a well. But Jesus knew that she needed living water. So we grow in compassion. If you trust in Jesus Christ, walk with a compassionate Saviour. So here's a dramatic contrast for us between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the compassion of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, the hard-heartedness of this ruler of the synagogue. This ruler who lectured everyone on the proper time to come for healing. Sounds incredible almost, but we come across people like him. Situations marked by rules and anger rather than heartfelt joy in the Lord. That hymn we sang from the revival time in East Africa, what's it full of? It's full of the joy that God brings in salvation. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. And when we're not amazed, there's something wrong. Does the grace of God still amaze you? Loose me from my bond. Set me free. It amazes me. Now, I'm not saying there should be no order in the church, but I'm saying if we have the reality of Jesus Christ, there is that sense of joy in salvation. Unjust anger is a work of the flesh. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So dead religion is marked by oppression. But reality with the Lord Jesus Christ sets people free. Dead religion is marked by indifference. But reality with the Lord Jesus Christ results in compassion. And then thirdly, dead religion is marked by pretense. But reality with the Lord Jesus Christ is heartfelt. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ calls this synagogue ruler. The Lord Jesus Christ then answered him and said, "Hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. See, that ruler of the synagogue pretended to be concerned about people. But his attitude was, they can come and get cured on other days. He wasn't really concerned about people at all. He was concerned that someone had violated his rules. Like the shop owner you may have read about, who became so obsessed with keeping his shop tidy that he would lock the doors during the day to keep customers out because they were messing up his shelves. Well, had he forgotten why he was in business? Now, the Bible teaches a proper use of the Lord's Day. We set aside one day in Sem to worship God. We rest from our normal work. We prioritize the worship of God. I trust that's a priority for you each Lord's Day. But the focus is on the worship of God, not on minutiae of rules. So in contrast to the pretense of dead religion, where Jesus calls them hypocrites, the Lord Jesus Christ was not manipulative. He was direct and personal in his dealings with people. And we need to remember this miracle, this woman, poor woman who'd been under this affliction for 18 years, suddenly is healed. This miracle was not unique. It wasn't a one-off. It was one of many miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed over the previous 2 years. He had made paralyzed people walk. He had made blind men see. He made deaf people hear. He had touched lepers and people with contagious diseases. And instead of Jesus getting sick, they got well. He healed all manner of diseases, no failures at all. He even raised the dead. Luke, the doctor, talks about a funeral procession that never reached the graveyard because Jesus brought the boy in the coffin to life, to the delight of a widowed mother. So here, with this woman who had this infirmity 18 years, this well-known local character in that area of that synagogue, here is Luke writing his gospel, perhaps 20 years after the incident. Many of the people healed by the Lord Jesus Christ were still alive. Certainly, most of the 500 who saw Jesus alive after the resurrection, they were still alive. You could search out, you could look for one of the people who had been healed, one of the people who had seen Jesus raised from the dead. You could have confirmed for yourself the miracles, the awesome power, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verified all the truth of the claims of Jesus. Only a man who is God could do what Jesus did. But the religious leaders valued their rules. And as the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out, they even valued animals over people. But he says, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? It was okay to free their ox or donkey and lead them to water, but they didn't want Jesus to heal this woman who'd been bound by Satan all these years. See, dead religion has always got mixed up priorities. It glories in people keeping the rules, even if their hearts are far from God. It talks about the outward conformity. But it doesn't deal with the heart of the matter. I say it over and over again in the Bible. The problem, the heart problem of human beings. Do you have a heart for God tonight? So Luke concludes this story by noting Jesus' opponents were put to shame. But the multitude was rejoicing for all.